This is the Closet Geek, episode 59 for October 23rd, 2014.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek in Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own.
Hey guys, and welcome to The Closet Geek, where geeks come out. This is the podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek, to bring you the best and latest geeky news. I'm your host, Barry Ricks, and with me tonight, I have Ryan and Michael.
Hey, I'm glad to be back.
Me too.
Yay! And John is gone because he is spending time with some family friends because they had...
A loved one passed away.
A death in the family, and our thoughts go out to the Stroud family that we're really close with, and we love you guys. So yeah, we are here, guys. What's up,
man? What a busy 2 weeks, man. I
know.
I so wish I could have been here last week. I feel bad. It's apparently the internet was not set up. All the internet securities were not set up correctly. On Thursday night, but they were Friday morning when the con started for Anime Bonsai, and so it kept blocking the IP address for Skype, so it wouldn't let me log in.
Tell them they're fired. They're all fired.
Yeah, I also had issue with Skype too. So
yeah, you're coming in a lot clearer this time.
Yeah, my video is awesome. It's much better. I think it's because they released an update for Skype, so they must have fixed some sort of networking issue.
If they did, it I don't think it updated on my side, but
yeah, that's okay. Well, shall we go to the first segment of the show, gentlemen?
This week in
Geek. This is the segment where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, the things we love and enjoy, and the things we can recommend to you. So John's not here, so he doesn't get to talk about his Geekin' Week. This Week in Geek.
Geekin' Week.
Geekin' Week. Whatever.
And I helped.
Yay! Mike has a lot to talk about since he had 2 weeks and he had Anime Bonsai and everything. So Ryan and I are going to go first.
Sounds good. Aha.
So Ryan, why don't you go first tonight?
Okay, let's see. As I talked last week, I caught up. I went... Watched season 3 of The Legend of Korra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now season 4 is online Nickelodeon.com or whatever.
I still haven't watched that show.
And they're up to they're up to episode 3. And I just finished episode 3 today, actually.
Nice.
Finally got around to it. Very cool. Interesting. A lot of interesting things happening. My biggest concern is that because it's now become a web series, that it may be canceled at any time. So I hope they wrap it up.
Oh yeah, I think they have it all planned out to finish.
I'm sure they
nicely.
Do. Yeah, it's probably all finished already. But
yeah,
that was my concern, and I just I'd love to see it continue because it's a great show, but. It obviously doesn't have the numbers to stay on TV, so.
Yeah, which is weird because it has a pretty loyal and strong following.
Well, so did Firefly.
Yeah. Boo! Don't bring that up.
Now that I'm back in my North Carolina house, I have access to my molds, so I can start making Wookiee parts again. And I did a huge spring cleaning, cleaned out all my sheds and garages and got rid of all my junk that I don't need. And I had a whole bunch of Ultron molds just kind of sitting in a box. And just maybe, you know, for some reason I would make copies. But I decided, nope, I am not going to make any copies.
Oh,
Adventures 2 trailer, you know, Ultron's going to be popular now that people kind of see it. And in fact, I've already had two people ask about my Ultron, but I've decided that I'm not going to make any Ultron copies. It's going to be a one of, and I want to, you know, save that last bit of glory for myself.
Nice.
As I go to Dragon Con.
Yeah. Go to Dragon Con, how many Ultrons there are there, huh?
Yes, but I am 100% open to telling you how I did it and how you can do it.
Cool.
So I'm not going to, like, say, oh, it's a secret, or, you know, it really irritates me when I ask. I'm fairly knowledgeable in the industry, and I already kind of know how I would do it, but I'll ask, like, other prop makers and stuff like that and professionals and say, how would you do this? How did you do this, such and such and such? And it'll be no response, nothing. And I know they got my message.
Yeah.
But all they could say, just say, it just irritates me.
Well, no, have some at least professional courtesy to say, you know what, I appreciate your interest in this, but this is a technique that I've designed for myself that I'd like to keep to myself. But if you have any other questions about something else, maybe I can help you out.
I understand that, and I understand trying to keep techniques to yourself to try and, you know, I don't know, make money or preserve your niche in the industry. But in my opinion, if you don't share that information, then practical effects are going to disappear. Because digital,
your knowledge will die with you.
Because digital effects are shared everywhere. And everybody knows how you did certain stuff. And it doesn't come down to what kind of technology you used to do it. It comes down to just your artistic interpretation of the constraints of the system. So in practical effects, there's so much technical information that doesn't get shared is that it becomes this dying art. And people continue to refuse to share it, and it will die eventually.
It needs
That's
to be
why
more like science. Share everything for review.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And the one, you know, light in the darkness is Stan Winston Studios. Stan Winston has their online courses that you can purchase. As a membership or a one of, and they will tell you cool stuff. I learned a lot from them. My membership has expired, but that's one thing. Anyway, so my point was, what was my point?
I was like,
so box.
Yeah.
I get frustrated that people close themselves off and try to, I don't know.
Well, and in a different business aspect, people are more willing to like you and have a good review for you, or you know, spread by word of mouth about the type of character or business that you have if you're nice and share your stuff, because that's just more exposure for your business. Because sure, some of your knowledge, maybe some other prop makers will use it to make stuff.
Sure.
But a lot of times when those prop makers are sharing, hey, I used this technique, or I did this, got this mold from so-and-so, a lot of time that generates traffic back to your business,
mm-hmm.
the original business.
Right.
I mean, that's how it works with Bill Duran.
Yeah.
He's all about sharing and putting out his knowledge everywhere, because I think he understands that, you know, the more people, you know, take my stuff, the more naturally it's going to be shared with an audience maybe that I don't normally reach.
Sure.
And it generates traffic.
And also Bill's extremely talented, and even
yes.
if he shares it, people aren't likely to match his quality for many years, and he already has that many years ahead of him, so he's always going to be ahead of the game.
Exactly.
So I don't know. It's just that I have a really big pet peeve about that. So
that's okay.
And people will ask me questions like that too, and sometimes there are things that I don't want to do or I don't want to share, then I will just reply. I'll just say, no, I'm not at liberty to, I'm not going to do that. At least I respond. That's my point.
Well, exactly. That's what I said.
Professional courtesy.
Yeah, it's a professional courtesy to at least say, no, I won't share that with you. You know, that's better than not responding, because then it's just like, oh, you're just ignoring me. That's rude.
Yeah, I've had somebody asked if how much my Ultron's, how much I would sell my Ultron costume for.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I'm like,
$5,000.
I don't think you realize how much time and money went into this. It's
yeah.
Not like you can go to the Halloween store and buy it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, anything else, my brother?
Ooh, the Logitech 100X.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this earlier.
Review.
It's a
tech review.
It's a tech review. The Logitech X100 mobile wireless speaker. It is really, it's way better than I thought it was going to be. I bought it at Walmart. I wasn't really expecting much, but it made a 14-hour car drive in the U-Haul truck so much more enjoyable. Because I could listen to my podcast.
Survived.
Well, and that's, I wish I would have had something like that, because I tried to just take my iPad into the U-Haul truck when I made the 22-hour trip down here.
You can't listen to, and you can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything, and I'm just like, come on.
It's so loud and in that in
it
those trucks. Long. And so the speaker, it's small. It's like, I don't know. One, two,
size of an
three,
orange.
Yeah, size of an orange, and it is, mine is orange. They come in a variety of colors, and it's loud. It's really loud, and it doesn't, like, I had a previous speaker for my phone, and when you cranked it up to the maximum level, it would get that grainy, like, noisy texture, a lot of white noise. That it was kind of hard to hear it at a high level. This one doesn't do that at all. It's really awesome, and it's Bluetooth, so you don't have to plug it in. You just have... I can have mine clear across the room. In fact, I can have my phone in one side of the house and go out to my carport and work and still hear the music. So
nice.
That's the Logitech X100 mobile wireless speaker, brought to you by the Closet Geek.
Yeah, review. Cool.
I figured right. I'd do a tech review just for the heck of it. Go.
No,
Mary.
That's good. That's good stuff. Okay. I finally was able to watch some anime this week. Woo! So I chose to watch Aldnoa Zero, and I was only able to get 2 episodes
How
in,
far
but
along
I was still...
are you?
I just watched episode 9 and 10, so I just have episodes 11 and 12 left.
It all hits the fan in the last episode.
Yeah.
It's like, "Oh my gosh, what?"
Yeah, that's what John was saying. So
finales are supposed to be like that. My wife always teases me. She's like, "I don't care if it's the season finale. I'm just going to watch the episode." But I'm like, "But if I know it's the season finale, then I know something awesome is going to happen."
I know, right?
What difference does it make? I don't know. It's just
I don't want to ruin it for you, but we'll talk about it next week after you.
Nice. I will make sure to. Finish that next week, because I will be on a business trip, so I'll probably get some good time in with that. Cool. I also, some gaming time, I've just been playing some apps on my iPad. Still playing that Best Fiends. It's a matching game, but it's lots of fun. I still, that's my like go-to game right now if I want to kill some time.
Cool.
Another match 3 game that just came out this week called, it's a, if you recall, there was a video game called Fat Princess. It was, you know, a capture the flag type of game, but you were capturing a princess and then you would feed her sweets to make her fat on your side so that it was more difficult for the other side to get
Are
the
you
princess
serious?
Fat. Yeah. It's actually a very, towards women, it's very, bad.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And I'll openly admit that it's not a very good representation.
But it's crazy enough and out there enough that it's not really, you can't really point to it and say it's like anti, like misogynist or anything.
Yeah, well, and it's a fun game though. That's the thing. So they developed an app that is a match three. So you, at the top of the screen, you actually have your characters, and they're running down a path, and you have to match stuffs to be able to attack the other team and stuff like that. It was all right. It was kind of fun, but I still would rather play Best Fiends. That one's more enjoyable. But so yeah, I played that. I was able to watch first couple episodes of season 2 of Arrow on Netflix.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to say, go ahead.
Have you watched the first couple episodes?
No, and I wanted to say that I'm not going to.
Oh, why?
Because I don't have enough room for that.
Okay, well.
And I hate first season, and so I don't really want to have to invest time into another show right now.
There you go. Well, I'll just say, and it's not that big of a spoiler or anything, but like in the first episode, they already teased and introduced a new superhero, which was the Black Canary. So that was pretty cool.
Well, they did that in the first season.
What's that?
They did that in the first season.
No, you're thinking that's the Huntress.
You're thinking of Huntress?
No.
Black Canary
wasn't. Maybe I was thinking of Smallville.
Oh, yes, she was in Smallville.
Yeah, sorry.
That's true. But no, she has been introduced in the first episode. It looks like it looks like that she'll become a more regular character throughout the season.
Very regular.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I think it's what, episode 6 or 7, you're just like, what? Because Cassie and I are, I think, on episode 13 or 14 in the season right now. And
this is still Arrow you're talking about?
Yeah, this is still Arrow season 2. So
you guys keep talking about it.
And so
makes me think I should watch it. Ah.
Do it. Do it.
What's nice, though, is if you watch Arrow season 2, and then it literally flows right into Flash. So by the time you've hit like episode 10 in season 2 of Arrow, it has set up Flash.
Oh, have you seen the ratings on Flash?
Is it bad?
Oh, it's tanking.
Really?
Ooh,
oh, that's too bad because it's been fewer
ratings.
It's so fun.
Yep. Like for example, what's that show with the nerds on it? Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory has a viewer rating of like 6.8.
Which is still good considering how long it's been on air.
It's the highest right now.
Yeah.
Right now, aside from NFL. NFL football is number one by
it always
7.2 or something like that. And Big Bang Theory is like 6.8. The Flash, 1.7.
Oh,
that's rough.
See, now, do they only count, like, live watching, or do they also count streaming?
They count DVR and streaming now.
They count DVR now.
I'm thinking about, like, what about all the Hulu Plus and the Amazon Prime?
It's counted.
Okay.
And it's there. Still. So,
I'm like,
generally, when shows reach a 1.7 to 1.5, they don't renew.
They get canceled.
I don't know. Was Flash renewed for a second season already? Because I know Gotham
I don't know.
Was.
Gotham
was renewed for. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so Gotham got a second season. So
and Gotham, but I saw the latest episode. I'm up to date on that. Anyway, go ahead, Barry.
No, but Arrow's cool. My wife doesn't like the show, and so that's my show I get to watch when she's doing something else. Last but not least, I guess I'll throw some fitness geek in there. My wife and I have started a workout program.
Ooh.
That we've been doing for two straight weeks now.
Really? What is it?
Yeah. We're doing the Shaun T Focus 25.
Yeah, yep. That's a good one.
So, man, it kicks our booty. Man, I still can't keep up with them. I have to modify sometimes.
At least you're not doing insanity.
Oh,
well,
it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but it's a 25 minutes instead of an hour.
Oh,
it's actually the whole Beachbody programming system has gone from an hour-long program, because research has shown that an hour-long exercise program that a 30-minute exercise program is as effective as an hour program.
Yeah, it just depends on the routine that you do.
Right, and there's other factors involved that will change things up. But so P90X has got P90X was a 90-minute. Yoga was 90 minutes, but it was a 60-minute exercise program. And now P90X3 came out, and that's a 30-minute program. And that's and Sean T25 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that's T25. Part of their whole shorter exercise line. And
yeah,
it's really good, but make sure you follow the diet.
Yeah, we need to be better on the diet, but we've been doing the workout for the last 2 weeks diligently.
Yeah,
so
Kathy and I, talking about Beachbody, Kathy and I do the Pio series with Sharon.
Okay, yeah, that's new.
Yeah, so it combines yoga and Pilates together, so it's a lot of consistent movement, so your heart rate is going pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But then it includes all of your yoga, which is hard enough as it is. So it's really good. So
I've done the P90X yoga, and that was intense.
Well, yeah, that's what they call power yoga, where they force you to use lots of hard positioning. Yeah, that was our fitness geek for a moment.
Fitness
there.
Geek.
Everybody's working out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's really it for. Oh wait, no, I wanted to say something else. So there's this program every November of the year. It's called NaNoWriMo. RIMO. Yeah, NaNoWriMo. And what it is, it's not a competition, but it's a challenge to write a book in the month of November. It has to be at least 50,000 words. And I have a coworker that has been doing it for the last 8 years. And so essentially she has written 8 novels, you know, that are at least 50,000, you know, words, which if people want that in pages, if you type it up in 12-point font, single space in Arial on Word, it will be between 80 to 100 pages, just depending. It's slightly bigger than a novella, but smaller than a full-length novel.
So let me – NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. It's
correct.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. No, thank you for doing that. No, and so Crystal, my wife, she had lunch with me and my coworker today, and we talked a lot about this. And now my wife is really gung ho, and I'm really interested too, because it's always been a dream of ours and a goal to write a novel, and to do this might be really fun. And so so this is something that we might be doing in the month of November, is trying to compete in this. Well, it's not really a competition. It's just a challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's to motivate you to write.
Exactly. And it's, it's for all levels of writers. And so it doesn't matter if you've never written anything or if you've written 8 books like my coworker. It's just something to get those creative juices flowing and be able to get your story down. And
the challenge is to get a 50,000 word rough draft in 30 days of November.
Correct. And so Crystal and I are thinking that we might do that.
What are you going to write about?
I'm trying to pick what genre and type of storyline I'm doing, but I'm thinking I might do some sort of post-apocalyptic story, because I really like that genre. Yeah. And it's something that I think I could, since I like it so much, maybe I would be able to write it a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I would.
Good luck.
Yeah. I think about that often. I think I could. I fantasize about the zombie apocalypse too much. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I'll do zombies. I think I'll just do like, you know,
Mad Max.
You know,
zombies aren't the problem. It's humanity.
Yeah. Well, I think humanity is more humane than people make it out to be in TV sometimes. Like in The Walking Dead, like how everyone just wants to kill each other all the time. And I'm just like, I think, you know, maybe it's just my positive thinking, but I think there'd be more people out there willing to help people.
Nope. Science has proven that to be wrong.
Yep.
So,
that is true.
Because there was a study.
I said it was my positive thinking, okay?
there wasn't a study. It was a think tank by some scientists, and they talked about the end of the world and what would cause people to act out irrationally like zombies. And basically it came down to starvation.
Yeah.
Because
or people result to cannibalism and stuff like that.
No, not even that crazy. Not even that. It's just like, when you are starving and have been starving for a certain period of time, your thought process goes out the window, and you become a lesser beast. You become a predator rather than a human being, and you start making decisions that are all about physical survival rather than moral.
Your moral compass kind of goes out the window.
So a good and it's not by choice. It's by the brain takes over. Certain chemicals start firing when you're in a starvation mode. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, look that up so we can find that while Mike talks about his 2 weeks in geek.
All right. Sorry, Mike.
Go.
Hey, Mike. Everybody.
Hey, Dr. Mike!
Buckle up. We have a ride to go on. All right.
Okay.
So,
2 weeks of Mike.
Last time we spoke, it was just Barry and I. And I talked about the United Clan Swordsmen Association, who's part of the HEMA Alliance, which is Historical European Martial Arts, was having a tournament on October 11th. And my goal was to place in the tournament, and
your goal was to place third.
Yeah, and I placed third.
Yeah.
So I met my goal.
How awesome is that?
So you know, it really boiled down to actually the third place match, because it was a round robin setup every round. So it wasn't a bracket system, it was a point based system. So you
was it like double elimination?
No, it wasn't even that. It was you had 22 points. Each match went to 8 points total. So one person could have 6, one person could have 2, that was a total of 10, and so forth. And as you get a point scored against you, you would lose that grouping of 22 points. And every round, as people were still around with points left, it was just completely round robin. And it just happened that the 6th round, I went up against a gentleman named Jeremy. And we had about the same amount of points. I think he actually had like a half a point more than I. But I beat him in the match 5.5 to 2.5. Okay, great. So I won the match, but I only ended up, after that match, I ended up with a half of a point left, and he had 1.5 points left.
Aww.
And then another gentleman, Travis, had 1.5 points left. So there was only 3 people left in the... There was only 3 people left in the very last round. Both had 1.5, and then me at a half. So I basically backed out and said, I'll take third, and you can do a tiebreaker for first place.
Did Travis win?
No.
Oh.
No. Jeremy won, and he deserved it. Man, the guy, I mean, yes, I beat him in a match, but I beat Jeremy twice in the tournament. But due to the way the tournament was, he ended up having less points scored against him in the long run.
So he took first?
He took first, Travis took second, and I took third.
How cool is that, that you and Travis, from the same organization that, you know, so people know, took second and third? How cool is that?
Well, what's cool is Jeremy's both our students, so it was kind of cool to get beat by our own student, you know? And just by...
The student has become the master.
But what's nice is it wasn't like a beat down, you know? It was
close,
very, very close.
I know Jeremy?
I don't think so. He's a newer guy, but... It was very cool, so I got a sword as my trophy. So instead of giving
a real sword,
well, it's a great wall piece. It's a solid single full tang wall piece, not sharpened. And it's cool. It's the Robin of Locksley replica. So
cool.
Which was cool. So that's hanging on my wall now with my third place certification. For the tournament. So all in all, that went really well. So that's
certification
great.
Or certificate?
Or certificate, excuse me.
I'm certified to be third in everything.
yeah.
Well, he is the third brother.
There you go.
Well. Boom.
All right, so that was sword competition. That actually went really well, but it took so stinking long. We started it long because... It was ran properly and went smoothly. It's just due to the new point system that we used. It just took a long time. Lots of rounds. So I mean, it ended up going, I believe, 7 rounds total. But it took us 8 hours to do that. So,
whew, that's still cool,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. So it was great. I think it's great because it was my first official tournament in 11 years. Because I've been teaching for 10, and I haven't competed, I haven't competed in any tournaments or anything for 10 years that I've been teaching. And so to just come out of competitive retirement, that's pretty cool.
I think did I compete in that one 11 years ago or was mine like
no yours was a little bit yours was before
like,
that I believe
it was like 12 or 13 years ago.
Yeah, 12 or 13, you got it. So anyway,
that's so long ago.
That was sword competition. I got a lot to go through, so I'm kind of laundry list here real quick.
That's okay.
So I marathoned Ald Noah Zero. I watched all 12 episodes in 6.5 hours.
All 12 episodes?
Episodes.
Episodes.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
It was great, and it... ended, holy crap. Okay. So, sword.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't spoil it. So,
I would really ruin it. Two episodes.
Sword Art Online took a week break after episode 14 because the whole Dead Man storyline finished. The Death Gun storyline finished. They took a week off, and then episode 15 came out when it's a new storyline. Or a new mini arc, story arc along the continuing, you know, story of everything. So it's cool. They're back into the ALO, which is the where they're all the elves and fairies.
The
fairy world. So it's pretty awesome. So they're back into that, and they're doing a new adventure to get the Excalibur sword. So it's cool.
Cool.
Log Horizon Season 2, the 3 episodes that are out have been pretty awesome. They're doing a huge raid, so another online kind of gaming show. This month, SLC Anime is reviewing Chrono Crusade, which came out in 2004, so I've been watching that about 8 episodes in. I need to finish the other, I think there's 26 in the season, so...
By the end of next week.
I'm halfway through second season of High School DxD. The story's actually getting pretty good, and I have an interesting idea for a cosplay from that series, which is be cool. And then a new season of Tenchi Muyo came out this fall season, Tenchi Muyo. I just watched episode 14. Of course, they're only little 5-minute episodes, so it's easy watching. And then, of course, you have all of your weekly shows that I watch. You know, we talked about Flash, which apparently I enjoy, but nobody else does. you know, Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Blacklist, Forever. I don't know how that's doing.
Yep, for some reason, all my series have been canceled on my DVR system because I unplugged it and then I moved back to North Carolina and reset it up.
Oh, man.
Not
recording.
And so there's like all the series that I had recording didn't record like one or two episodes.
Ugh.
So I'm like,
catch them on Hulu, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. Well, fortunately, yeah, I have DirecTV, and most of the time they're on demand, so.
Okay.
There we go. But Forever is, I enjoy it. It's different, but the same. You know, it has a twist. There you go. Castle, we talked about Arrow Season 2. Kathy and I just started watching Once Upon a Time, so we're halfway through Season 1.
Season 1 is good. So, Season 2, not so good.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And then, of course, Doctor Who, watching Season
9?
8?
8?
Yeah, 8, Season 8. So that's all my shows. Been watching lots of shows.
Yeah, good.
So what else do you do when you're unemployed? You watch TV! No, I do have a job. I do have a job. I start November 10th.
Oh, so, what is it?
I am going to be a...
Can we share these things? Is this geek related?
No, it is, no. But I got a job.
Yes, we can.
I got a job as a financial advisor for E-Trade Financial.
Oh, so, cool. All right, good. At least you won't be a bum anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Bums unite. Oh, wait.
Woo! Then before I hit Anime Bonsai, lastly, Final Fantasy 14. They're doing their big update 2.4 on the 28th, which is going to be pretty cool. They're including Shiva, which is the ice primal, if you're familiar with the Final Fantasy series stuff. And they're including the new class of rogue and new job of ninja. And they made the announcement that they, at the fan fest that they had this last weekend, they had a fan fest in Las Vegas for the North American people, and they announced Heaven's Ward, which is the first expansion for Final Fantasy 14, which will include multiple races, jobs, etc., you know, like any expansion. But what's cool is they're going to, if everybody remembers Final Fantasy 7, and you could go to this wonderful place called the Gold Saucer, which was a casino. They're going to include that in the new expansion. So they're going to have this giant casino. They're going to have like chocobo racing and gambling and all sorts of stuff. So it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to all the expansions that are coming out. So last week I did Anime Bonsai Convention. That's
yay!
So Utah's premier Japanese animation and culture convention was held last week. And I'm lucky enough to be part of the staff that runs the convention. So I am the medical coordinator, so I was in charge of all of the medical team and emergency preparedness for the convention. And then my wife, Kathy, is... Yeah.
God bless you.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. And then Kathy is in charge of the HR for the convention. So she does all the resources. Cool. So she's actually my boss. So that's cool.
as should be. You know, that's how she is.
Yeah, that's normal, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's as there. Should be, but it as it is.
Is.
No, as for me, it's as should be. I need a boss.
But it was well attended. We don't have exact numbers yet because for some reason the algorithm that we used last year to keep track of all the numbers as we did registrations, we used the similar algorithm this year, but for some reason it was pulling numbers from not only this year but last year to do the equation. So it was messing up our numbers, and so they had to rewrite the algorithm to do all of the
or formula for those Excel people to redo the numbers. So we're expecting it to be around 5,000. We felt like it was a little bit smaller than last year, but only by a titch. Last year we did about 5,200. This year, I suspect it's going to be around 5,000 as well. We think a lot of people in Utah just got conned out because you had Salt Lake Comic Con Fan Experience, you had the Fantasy Con, and the official Salt Lake Comic Con, and then you had Anime Bonsai. And so when it comes to the geek conventions, and you also had like Nerdtacular well, and Steam Fest. You know, so, and then you have like the Renaissance fairs and stuff like that, that, you know, I don't know if the same people go, but eventually everybody was just kind of like end of the con season, blah.
Yeah.
So
burnt
out. Have a feeling that might have affected our numbers. But like I said, very minimal. The convention ran very smoothly and we feel that it was a really well done convention. We just look forward to growing. But while there, I got to hang out with my SLC anime group, which was really awesome to be able to, since I had a full medical team, I actually was able to take breaks and step away from the, you know, the limelight for a little bit to, you know, go to lunch and hang out and see some panels and so forth. So it was nice to,
nice.
To attend the convention as well as run it. I was able to sit in with Hello Sweetie Podcast, which you should check out, Hello Sweetie Podcast. They're a group of four women who are just amazing people, but also awesome geeks. So you can actually check them out at HelloSweetiePodcast.com. And they're a long-running geek podcast in Utah. And what's nice is I was able to get a snippet on there. And I'm going to start the process of setting up a crossover episode with the Closet Geek and Hello Sweetie Podcast.
Nice.
So it'll be
called the Sweet Geek.
There you go.
Why not?
So we're gonna set that up, and they all attended Anime Bonsai, so that was really cool. But our friends with Touch Paper Press and Salt City Strangers, and
who we had on the show,
podcast, they have another podcast called Undead Soup. And so our friend Chris Hoffman.
That sounds gross.
It's Chris Hoffman and Josh Butterfield. They were all at Anime Bonsai. Now, Josh couldn't be there, which is kind of unfortunate because he's their anime guru for their group and couldn't make it. But you guys can check out not only their DeviantArt podcast, but you can go to undeadsoup.com. and find them as well. But I was able to sit in and take some pictures, so you might see a setup where you can see some of my SLC anime friends and Big Shiny Robot, which is another podcast that was at the convention, sit down and talk with Chris with Undead Soup. So yeah, you can see those on our Facebook page. If you,
cool.
you want to scour through the... I only took 83 pictures at Anime Bonsai, and or less, but I took 180-something at Salt Lake Comic Con. That's the difference between working and not working a convention. So
it's about 80 pictures.
It's about 100 pictures. So, but it went really well. Vic Mignogna, so I learned how to say his last name correctly. So Vic Mignogna, who I had the luxury of interviewing at Salt Lake Comic Con, was also a guest for Anime Bonsai. And he's a well-known voice actor. He is currently, I think they just released episode 3 of Star Trek Continues, which is the continuing adventures of Captain Kirk. And so he plays Captain Kirk, and his friend Chuck...
Live action?
Yes, live action. And so check it out. You could find it. I believe it's just, if you Google Star Trek Continues, I believe you can view it online for free. And it's a fun series. If you really loved the original Star Trek, you'll love Star Trek Continues because it has the same feel. They kind of shot it the same way. The outfits are the same. you know, even the makeup artistry is kind of the same, so it has that same kind of 60s feel.
Good, yeah.
So it's full of racial and sexual stereotypes.
Overtones.
Well,
no.
Star Trek in general is, but yes.
So what's the link? How can we find this?
You know, let me pull it up just to make sure I give you the correct link. But, yeah, because it's Star Trek Continues, and it's a web series. And so you can go to StarTrekContinues.com, and what's nice is you'll see Vic Mignogna. He's right there as Captain Kirk on the page. And you can, I believe, just watch the episodes right there. And what's nice is they had, like, Lou Ferrigno was in one of the episodes, and they get people to come and just be in the episodes. It's really cool.
Is it a series or is it a comedy?
It's a series. It's
I mean, is it serious? I mean,
it is.
I kind
like
of slurred
watching
that.
The original Star Trek. So,
okay.
So some episodes can be serious. It has a
so
bit of a cheese.
So it's full of bad acting and.
No, it feels very much.
I don't know.
The same.
I'll tell you. You know the.
That's why I said the fans of the original Star Trek will like this.
We were talking earlier about the Next Generation Star Trek, the Next Generation, on how awful that was.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you know this is, the original Star Trek episodes. They're not any worse.
Really?
It's true. I mean, in the end, when you think about it, it is Gene Roddenberry. So, you know, you get what you get from the same writer.
He was doing something right.
But,
yeah.
So that was, I mean, Vic, he plays Kirk in that. And what's nice is we also had another guest with us. His name is Chuck Huber. And he plays Dr. McCoy in the same series. And
yeah,
so they're
yeah.
friends. But, yeah, so it was cool. And we had Chris Patton, who is a voice actor. We also had Jan Scott Frazier, who's a long-time producer and director for anime. She's worked pretty much everything you can think of in anime. So that was pretty cool. We had Sonny Strait, another voice actor. And then, of course, we had our kind of reoccurring guest, Warky T. Chocobo, also known as Steve Nunez. He's a voice actor and just kind of Mormon geek. So he's a big LDS geek. And
oh,
so
is
he
a local celebrity or all LDS or what?
Well, he originally was from Utah. He now lives in California. But he started out small, but he's done 9 of the 10 years of Anime Banzai as a guest. And so
that's cool.
He just loves it, and he always gets so emotional during closing ceremonies. He's like, I love you guys so much. He's just that type of guy. But he does a lot of like parody music, but he does a lot of voice acting. He's known for doing Men in the Morning and Women at Night, for voice acting, that is. But yeah, he's generally all of the guests, to get to know them backstage, you know, like to be able to go out to lunch with them and just sit and chat with them. What a bunch of great people. It was really nice to meet them all and get to know them on a better level. I mean, Vic Mignogna, he was a big guest at Salt Lake Comic Con. He comes to our convention, which is 5,000 people versus 120,000 people.
Right.
And he's outside throwing the football around with the attendees, having a good time. He's just like one of the kids. It's great.
That's one of the cool things about the smaller cons is that the celebrities don't get accosted.
That's why I like Nerdtacular a lot, because it's smaller. It's only like 1,000 people, and it, you know, allows you to actually have one-on-one time without having to be, you know, a special person with, you know, with the, you know, the guests and all the producers and all the stuff. So,
well,
I
thought what was cool is, since it is a smaller convention, like Chuck Huber is also a really good artist, and so is Sonny Strait. And so we had our artists' alley, and they basically set up shop so they could sell their wares But at the same time, if you wanted a autograph, boom. And what's cool is Anime Bonsai, when we have special guests, you don't have to pay for autographs. You don't have to pay for photo ops. That's nice. It's included. It's all inclusive when you come to the convention. So all you have to do is wait in line. The line is what you have to wait for. But they're all happy to sign whatever you put in front of them, take pictures with them. It's like a small family community. I love the smaller convention.
That's been my experience with small cons, yeah. There's a con in North Carolina that I've gone to the last couple of years called Con Carolinas. And it's the same way. It's pretty small, but it has some cool guests. Like last year was George R.R. Martin.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talked about it on the show.
And he showed up at a party. He was just chilling in somebody's hotel room. just sitting in a chair.
Cool.
Like, wait a second. Is that who I think it is?
Is that someone in cosplay or is that really him?
Yeah.
You know, and to attest to how cool these guests, you know, were, that they're just down-to-earth people, is after the convention ends and we've kind of broken down about 50 to 60% of the convention, we all go out to dinner to Golden Corral down the street as a whole staff. So all the staff goes. So we had about, you know, staff plus extras, you know, we had about 100 people there. And because it takes about that many to run the convention, you know, and that's not including the volunteers. That's literally just the staff. But they showed up and they just basically hung out, had dinner with us, and afterwards basically talked to the group and said how happy they were and how awesome an experience it was and how they look forward to the next time. So I'm like,
cool.
Just good people. So that was my week. SLC Anime did 2 panels. For Anime Bonsai, they did What's New in Anime, so they basically reviewed 2014 as a whole. And then they did, on Sunday, they did Studio Ghibli, Need I Say More, was the title of the panel.
Oh.
and it was – what's nice is on Sundays, they open up 2 of the panel rooms to make a big panel room, and they filled that. And everybody got very touchy and feely and – the feels were coming out of everybody's eyes by the end of the panel, so it was very well ran. It was very cool. So kudos to Fragglepuss and all the other Evans for putting on an awesome panel. So that's my week in geek.
Well, I forgot to mention one thing. Is last Saturday I recorded and put out my first episode of Breaking Rumors.
So you're going to have some guests?
I'm still having issues with, like, getting on iTunes. I don't know why. But you can listen to it on my Tumblr page. So you can go to breakingrumors.tumblr.com, and you can listen to it there. It's only, like, 18 minutes long. They're not going to be long episodes. And, yeah, Ryan makes a good point. I do plan on having guests soon. I won't have a guest this week, but soon I'll be having guest producers from different podcasts on to just talk about what are the rumors of the week. So that'll be lots of fun.
And you know, brothers.
Yeah. I'll have you guys come on.
You know, the other horsemen.
The other horsemen of geek.
You guys are nobodies.
You're not nobodies. I'll have you on the show. But for those of you that have been listening for the show for a while, you know that I've been producing a segment for the Frog Pants Studios called Sweet Kicks with Bricks, which is where I interview people that are producing games, video games or board games and the such on Kickstarter. And the show that I produced that segment for, unfortunately, has now gone on permanent hiatus.
Aww.
For good reasons. But, and so Scott Johnson and I were talking about what we could do with Sweet Kicks with Bricks. And he said, you know what? It's a solid segment. He's like, why don't you just make it your own show? And he's like, and I think it will do well. And so probably soon you guys will be seeing a third show within the Closet Geek Network.
Closet Geek Studios?
That's right. We'll have Sweet Kicks with Bricks, where I will be. But it will be also nice doing it just my own show, because I had to kind of just cater to games, because I was at the end of a gaming podcast. But now I'll be able to do like movies or art or any other Kickstarters, and be able to interview those people and talk about their Kickstarters. So that's going to be coming soon. So stay tuned to that. That's going to be awesome. I know. It's awesome.
Well, and aren't we also trying to get the Closet Geek on Stitcher?
We are. Like, for some reason, I had registered the Closet Geek, but now, like, it won't let me go to the producer side.
Okay. So
I'm like, why won't it?
We'll make the big announcement when it goes.
I already emailed them, and they haven't emailed me back yet. So, I'm working on that.
Cool.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. And we'll let everyone know when that happens.
We'll be everywhere.
Everywhere. In your ear holes.
That kind of sounded bad.
Yeah, a little bit.
But something else that Closet Geek related is that the Four Horsemen of Geek and their wives are going to get together and play Dungeons and Dragons via Skype.
Minus my wife.
Minus Mike's wife.
Oh, she has no play?
She has no interest whatsoever.
She's never been into D&D. Go out and get a girlfriend.
No, she literally told me, she's like, well, I'd rather play Final Fantasy 14.
Tell her it's Final Fantasy 14 role-playing game.
That's right. But no, that'll be fun.
And we're going to record it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Sure. Here, breaking rumors.
Why not? Making rumors already.
John's going to listen to this and he's like, "What?"
I'm not going to record that.
So there since John was not planning on being here this week, we didn't do a lot of show notes for the weekly geek, but you know what? We had so much to talk about this week in geek that we're already an hour into the show. So next, let's just go to geeky trivia! Mike,
All right, so I was not here last week, and I was supposed to have geeky trivia, but I decided, you know what, I'm just going to add on to what I did last week and make it a little bit harder. So I'm calling this the Michael's Trivia of Hard Pub Quiz Geek Trivia.
Oh, no.
So if you've ever heard of pub quiz or geek, you know, you go to these pubs and you basically have a trivia team.
Like
you
Buffalo
go out.
Wild Wings?
Yeah, exactly. If they do that at, you know, different locations and different pubs and whatnot. But you can go and you have your team and you try and answer these generally difficult questions. So I'm going to go through some of these questions. Now,
going down, right?
Just a heads up.
All right.
A lot of these have kind of a Joss Whedon-verse feel to them. So it's going to be a bunch of like Marvel questions, some of them, and Firefly questions. So,
Buffy.
And then there's just general nerd questions. So,
okay.
All right. So,
do it.
In the movie Serenity,
what does
Captain Malcolm Reynolds aim to do?
Misbehave.
Yeah, Barry.
Oh,
woo.
He had it one slightly.
Yeah, So, I better keep track of points here. Sorry. Okay.
I aim to misbehave.
Yep. All right.
I don't even remember the quote. I know the quote, but I don't remember the scene.
All
right. I'll have to go see it again.
So here's a general geek question. Who coined the term meme?
His name John.
No. It actually was coined longer before everybody realizes.
Yeah, his name's like,
he likes
Peter. I don't remember. I'll know it when you say it.
Richard Dawkins.
Dokken.
1976 in The Selfish Gene.
What?
It coined the term meme.
There you go.
So, all right. So, which prolific composer worked on the soundtracks for anime titles such as Escafalone, Ghost in the Shell, Cowboy Bebop?
Wow, I have no idea. I don't listen to that music at all.
John
Williams.
Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. Also the lead singer of a band.
Trent Reznor.
David Bowie.
It's Yoko Kanno. So she is an amazing artist. She's up there with John Williams. So
Cowboy Bebop has one of the best anime intro songs.
So the band Seatbelts that made the opening song for the Cowboy Bebop series called Tank is the band that Yoko Kanno sings for under a alias name.
The only Japanese band that I know of is Baby Metal.
Yeah, Baby Metal!
it's funny, all of my
friends, we agreed that if they actually come to concert close to Salt Lake, we'll go just for S&G.
That's right. No, it's funny because Baby Metal originated as a satire for metal and specifically melodic death metal. And yeah. I happen to be a huge fan of melodic death metal.
Yeah.
When I came across Baby Metal, it's like, I don't know if I want to hate them or love them.
I know. It's like J-pop and heavy metal squished together. It's so funny. I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's basically what melodic death metal is. You've got the, screaming.
And then you'll have
music
some
with the beats and riffs, and then you've got the kind of like the 80s hair metal choruses going
like
on.
Like Nightwish and Leaves Eyes or stuff like our Eyes Leaves or stuff like that. Are those
no,
bands?
No, that's like Scar Symmetry, Soilwork, In Flames, the 45 Spluton.
So slightly
different. Switch Engage.
Okay, that one I've heard of out of all of those, actually.
Nope.
So here's the next question.
That's my music.
In what?
That's not my bag, baby.
In what game was the Konami code first used?
Gradius.
Yes, Barry.
Gradius. I used it on, what was it, Contra?
Yeah, was also one of the very...
Well, that's what everyone thinks is Contra, but it's actually
Gradius. That's the only one that I used it on. And I used... Oh, man, I played that game so much.
Used it on Life Force
I don't even know how I figured out that combo. Because there was no internet
I don't remember.
Then.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I figured it out either.
It was printed in magazines and so forth, but...
Probably.
Maybe
it was
that, or just word of mouth or something.
So here you go. Here's a true nerd question. In the Pythagorean theorem, A2 plus B2 plus C2, what does the C represent? Math question.
The one that's not the right angle.
Which is called a...
Bad angle.
You're right on it. You just got to name it.
The sine? The cosine? No.
Oh, what is that? What is that called? It's called the hypotenuse.
The hypotenuse.
Hypotenuse. Yes.
Give him a half point for that.
Right.
Yeah.
I will draw a picture of it. I will totally give him a half a point for that.
I'm an artist here.
All right. So in Frank Herbert's Dune, what is the name of the mouse shape on the moon of Arrakis?
Ooh.
Mickey.
No. Oh. I do know this, but I can't think of it right now.
In the movie, he asks Stilgar.
Wait, yes.
What do you call the shadow on the far side?
Yes. Oh, it's right here.
On the moon. Because he asks him what his name will be. And
Uso.
He says, No, Usul is the
Moab-Zeev.
Very good, Ryan.
Yes.
No, Usul is the base of the pillar.
Okay.
All right. Great. I'm trying to get away from some of these hardcore, like, oh, here you go. See, the name Lego that was coined from a Danish phrase meaning play well. What is the Danish phrase?
Lego, my ego.
Isn't it just Lego?
Close.
Legos.
Legos.
Legolas.
I was going to say that.
No, it's... I will give you both a half a point because it's pronounced... It's pretty much the same as Lego, but it's leg, and then the second word is goat. So,
Legot.
Legot. It's a G-O-D-T.
They like their goats over there.
So I'll give you both a half a point for that. You totally deserve it. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, here's a fun 90s question.
90s.
In the movie Hackers, what trait earned Lord Nikon his handle?
He has a photographic memory.
Very. Nice one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See here. Name the four current continents, worlds of or worlds in World of Warcraft.
Oh, that's all, Ryan.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Name the four current continents or worlds in World of Warcraft.
Oh, geez. You know, speaking of World of Warcraft, I just canceled my account. I have until...
That's a big deal.
I have until my birthday until it runs out, November 20th. Let's see. Azeroth.
Give him a... Pandora.
Pandaria is an island.
Pandaria. Dang it.
Timeless Isles? No. Northrend.
That's one. Okay.
And the kingdoms, Eastern Kingdoms?
Yeah, that's two.
Durotar? No, wait, one of the places
That's a place.
Man, I'm so rusty on that game.
We're also playing Kalimdor and the Outlands.
We're canceling the Outlands, okay.
Yeah.
Got him. You got 2 points out of that.
Yeah. You could argue Pandaria as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
So,
here's
kind of a gamer question, gamer geek music question. Musician Chris Vrenna, previously the drummer for Nine Inch Nails and currently the keyboardist for Marilyn Manson, or at least he was, composed the score to what PC video game released in 2000?
Silent Hill.
No.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
Well, you're
it's that genre.
It is
though.
A horror genre game.
Fear.
Nope.
Dang it.
I'll give you one more try.
Afraid of the Dark or something like that?
No.
Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark.
American McGee's Alice.
Oh, Alice.
Great soundtrack. All right, so let's go on to some somewhat easier, maybe, ones.
That.
In Stargate...
Uh-oh.
What is the device called that opens the iris? I hear Ryan typing. Are you Googling this?
No, I don't know.
Device that opens the iris?
Yeah, it's
the key, the pedal to the metal.
Maybe I'm making these too hard. It's called the GDO, or also referred to as the garage door opener.
Oh, nice.
Nope,
I forgot.
Okay. Excuse me. So, let's go to... All right. Movies.
Okay.
So, here's a easy one. Who has been announced as the director for Star Wars 7?
J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, very...
Too slow.
The answer is 42.
That's Hitchhikers.
Well, you beat me to that question, and I made that one. The 1971 film Omega Man was based on what novel?
I Am Legend.
Yes, Barry.
What's wrong with you?
Get alive.
Here you go.
Omega Man's an awful movie.
Yeah, it is.
Too.
Charlton Heston. All right.
They're remaking I Am Legend, by the way.
They are.
Yep, they are. So,
although the new storyline they're doing, I think they should have kept it original. But
okay,
whatever.
Here you go. In what decade did the first Godzilla film get released?
60s.
No.
The 50s.
Yes. I'll give you a bonus point if you can tell me the exact year, Ryan.
50. It's an even number. 54, 56?
Yep, 54. Boom. Ryan gets the bonus point.
Good job.
All right. Nice. No. So, how many Marvel Studios films are supposed to be released every year?
3.
Ooh, Barry.
I'd say 2.5.
Well, it originally was 2.
Web series.
It originally was 2 when it came out, but now they're starting to produce 3 a year. So, that's my understanding for the question. So, if I'm wrong, listeners out there, tell me I'm wrong.
That's right. TheClosetGeekPod@gmail.com.
So.
Okay, let's do a couple more.
Yeah, let's see here. Let's go to... Oh, gosh. I'm trying to find ones that I feel you might know.
All right, stop looking at your paper. I have a question.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Let's do it.
Stop looking at your paper.
Oh, all right. I'm not... Go ahead.
Off the top of your head, ask a trivia question.
Oh, off the top of my head. Oh, my gosh. Serious?
Yes.
In Game of Thrones, also referred to the series as Song of Fire and Ice, the Dothraki do not have a word for what?
Death.
No. The word no.
Okay.
No. They do not have a word for the word no.
Very interesting.
So that's a word that he had.
Point Mike.
So yay.
You scored yourself.
I scored myself a point. Woo! In Dr. Horrible, what character is played by Nathan Fillion?
Hammer.
Captain Hammer.
Yeah, Ryan.
Hammer.
What? I said Captain Hammer, though. That's the correct one.
I get a
one.
Full point. You get a half point.
There you go. We'll round up that half point that Barry has. In what other fictional character has worn Dr. Horrible's jacket?
The horse guy.
What?
No, the
other
girl.
Fictional character has worn Dr. Horrible's jacket.
Aren't they going to redo that series?
I don't know. They said they want to. It's just scheduling. They want to do a sequel.
Well, yeah, because what's his face? Joss is doing Avengers.
Well, Joss, right? And Nathan Fillion's really busy too.
He's not busy. His show is not doing much better than The Flash, actually.
what series are you talking about?
Castle. It's doing. It's a 2.8.
It's its last season, though, isn't it?
It's dwindling.
Well, anyway, the character is the doctor from Firefly.
Oh, okay, Simon.
Yeah, Simon wore it in episode like
Simon Tam.
Wore it in like one of the episodes, and it was an inside joke.
I didn't even know he was in that show.
Talking about characters and shows did you see the post I just did on Facebook that in Gotham, one of our favorite persons from Firefly is going to be on Gotham. So the actress Marina Baccarin.
Oh, okay.
She was the
companion.
Thank you. I was trying to find the right word. She was the companion in Firefly, but she's going to be on Gotham.
Anara.
There you go.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, she was on V.
All right. That's it for geeky trivia. Woo!
Maybe I won't make it so difficult next time. By the way, you guys tied.
Oh, look at that.
Because I got the last point.
All right, well, thanks, guys, for listening to The Closet Geek. Thank you to Alpha Geek Radio for the live stream, Doghouse Systems for being our affiliate. Use the code CLOSETGEEK for double the RAM of your purchase. And don't forget to go use our Amazon link on our website for all your shopping needs at theclosetgeek.net. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and also you can contact us via email, theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Any constructive criticism or hate mail or whatever you want to send us. We'd love to hear from you. So come and join us next week. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek, minus one, but that's okay. But we are always reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.